and Stevie B. And seriously, you can go over. It's okay, seriously. Don't worry.
Hi, everybody. I'm Stevie B, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Stevie.
And I was just so touched by the medallions tonight. I mean, if you don't believe that God is in the restoration business, if you don't see that there's husbands and wives and mothers and sons and daughters and dads and grandsons, if you can't see that, I don't know about you, but I got touched. The big book says that God will give us the fellowship that we crave. Just a couple minutes ago, I was purchasing some coffee. It's been a long day. And I was traveling. For some reason, the Starbucks in this area, all the lights are off. The entire complex is off. But the bar next to it, the Land Shark or one of these bars, everything in the parking lot is completely black, but this has got lights like shining on it from below. And laughter was resonating from this Land Shark bar. And I was all alone in the parking lot, pitch black. The girl said, "Did you see it was pitch black outside?" And the other girl said something had to do with the electronic timers and no lights, and just inside Starbucks lit up. But the Land Shark or whatever that bar is, man, they had music and tinkering of glasses and it just looked fun. It looked like they had some stuff going on in there. And I had a decision to make. Starbucks or the Land Shark? And I want to say to you, I always craved fellowship. I always craved to be liked. I don't know if you ever saw the Cheers, or for you young people, there was a show called Cheers in the Day, and you could see it on reruns on Channel 5. You walk into the bar and they say, "Hey, James," and everybody knows your name. And I always craved that. I always wanted to have a fellowship. I always wanted to have a fellowship that I craved. And the big book says that God will give you that fellowship. About a year and a half ago, I'd been seeing Big John over the years. And his good friend Russell is my sponsor. And so we travel in a lot of the same meetings. And somehow God just put us together. And we came together like with two spirits, and we just became like magnets. And he gave me this man in my life, and he gave me his daughter in my life. And I get to see him on a weekly basis. But when I hear the story behind it, and I hear what a road it was, and now I see the grandson, her son, here in the meeting, and I know it wasn't easy. And I know it wasn't a straight trajectory like a lot of our lives. I just think, how amazing is it if we just follow directions one day at a time, that not only God will give us the fellowship that we crave, but He'll give us a fellowship that is just, we can't wait to see the people. I mean, I was on the phone with him today telling him I can't wait to see him. I might have to go to Codependent Anonymous on this guy. And that is such a blessing. I wanted to tell you that before we get into the 11th and 12th step, is that I had a revelation this week. A lot of my friends have been going out. A lot of the guys that I sponsor have been going out. A lot of the people that I know are either in detox or newly coming back, guys in our home group that we respected and thought they were bulletproof, that they were the Rock of Gibraltar, back picking up white chips. Thank God they're back. That's what's important. Because the key is not coming back to pick up white chips. Everyone can come back to pick up white chips. The key is staying empty and come to pick up a white chip. I mean, anyone can go out. Some return, but only a few stay after the return. Listen to what I just said, if you don't hear anything else tonight. Anyone can go out. Some will return, but few will stay after the return. It takes so much work to stay after you went out. And it takes so much more work to get sober than it does to stay sober. So when you're in front of a place and the lights look good and the sound sounds good and the smell sounds good, you got to play that tape out. Because that whole thing is going to end one way, badly. Young man called me tonight, this young shining star. I mean, he's got everything to live for. I mean, from the outside, I mean, this young man is good looking and tall and smart and golf pro. I mean, he's got everything. He's a, you know, one of those guys from the Coors Light commercials. You know, one of those guys. And everything's going great, and he's got 9 months coming up on a year, and he decides he wants to go out and have a couple drinks before a meeting. And he goes and has a couple drinks, and in one day he had a needle in his arm. Now, the good part of the story is he called tonight. We didn't go to his funeral. And I'm going to talk to you tonight about a record and a groove and what you need to do to stay out of that groove. And we're going to get serious tonight. This is not going to be the show tonight. I want you to leave here with a to-go basket so that when you leave here tonight, you'll remember that although we don't take ourselves seriously, this is serious business. The 12th step is serious business. This is life and death. You don't get to have your family restored if you're in a coffin. You don't get to make amends while you're high. No one cares about God when they're drunk. I mean, really care. You know, that heartfelt care. That one when John and Nikki came up here tonight and Nikki gave her dad the medallion. I don't know about you, but I was crying. I looked over at my mom and she was crying. Because that's what I put my mom through. You know, 7 years in the program, and I decide I want to go out. God bless you. I want to go out and have a drink. And the same thing, 6 months later, I'm on the streets. I always say I'm on the streets, but someone corrected me. It wasn't really like I was on the streets. It was like I bought stuff on the street and I got back in the car. But I don't want to be, you know, sometimes I get up here and I'm like, I was a street person. That's not true. I just want to be real. But I could have been a street person, just that I had a car. But I was this close to missing my car and becoming a street person. So let's put it out there. A guy came to me last week. He's like, really? When were you a street person? I'm like, I had to get out of the car, didn't I? That's the street. Potential was there. I vowed I was not going to be funny tonight. I want to be serious. Don't get me going. I went to a Passover last night. Happy Passover. Happy Passover. I like to say happy Passover only to the Jewish people, but it's not a Jewish religion. It's Passover. And a happy Easter to the people that are going to celebrate Easter. I went to Passover dinner last night with my parents and with a young man that I love, Rob, and some friends. And I was thinking today, that we're part of Passover. That if you're not religious, and this is not a religious talk, but even if you're not religious, you know, the angel of death passed over the homes that God was watching over. And isn't that what happened in our lives? Didn't God pass over our house? Didn't the angel of death pass over our house because we're following God? Isn't that exactly what happened in our own lives? That we put up a sign on top of our house, friend of Bill W. And then the angel of death is coming by and we're going to a meeting and it passes over us. And then it goes to the next day, what next thing says, we're involved in service. And the angel of death comes by and he passes over us. But what this one I want you guys to hear, brothers and sisters. When that angel of death comes down, it doesn't just pass over and go back. It lands on somebody's house. The angel of death, the disease of alcoholism, does land on somebody's house. It just doesn't go away. It's looking to return, and it needs to take someone. It needs to take someone with it. And are you going to be that one tonight? For me, myself, my friends that are here tonight, it's passing over us. And every day we get to make that decision. Am I going to be a victim? Am I going to be taken by this disease? Or am I going to volunteer to serve God? And that's what the 12th step is all about. Tonight I want to talk to you about the groove in the record. Before we get there, we need to just backtrack a little bit to the 11th step. To page, what were the pages we spoke about last week? 86. You're right. Let's start where we said. 85, 86, 87, and 88. Those are the pages. That's the meat. That's going to keep you fired up. That's going to give you your marching directions. When you don't know what to do, that's where it says, upon awakening, let's go to God. At the end of the day, when you get down on your knees, and I'm sure you're getting down on your knees, you know how I know you're probably getting down on your knees? Because you want this thing. You want this thing more than you want to be right about religion. You want this thing more than you want to be right about religious people. You want this thing more than you want to be right that people told you to do this your whole life. You want this thing more than anything, so you get down on your knees. And you say to God, thank you for another day of sobriety. And then you go through your list. Your list that's on page 87. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should have been discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving towards all? That's a great one right there. Because I don't know if you've ever heard of 1 Corinthians 13, but 1 Corinthians 13 talks about being loving. Because you can have all the knowledge in the world, and if you're not loving, nobody wants to hear from you. You see that right there? It says God is love. And if God is love, then we get to be love, and when we're love, people want to listen. When we have a loving spirit, people want to listen. I'm not talking about when you bring up stuff that's nonsense about politics and religion and all that. I'm talking about love stuff. How you doing? How are you feeling? How is your program? I have a great mentor. My mom is someone that I've watched over the years that she just exudes love. You know, sometimes when I want to be, I don't naturally exude love, you know what I'm saying? That's not a natural go-to for me. I exude stuff, but it's usually not love. So I have to work at it. But I have great people around me. Jay, John, he's a great love machine. I'm not that way. Terrible people. That's not what I mean. But he's a big ball of love. Ray, you're a very loving guy. I got these loving examples around me. When I want to go to my natural go-to, I got these loving examples. God's put these men in my life. And women in my life that really, really show me, wow, that's what love is. Love is me caring more about you than thinking about me. Wow. Love is me caring more about you than thinking about me. And for a lot of us in here, especially men, that's not natural for us, but it can be attained. And so that brings us to the 11th step prayer. It says that we usually conclude this period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be. That we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others would be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing this and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. That's beautiful. And my wife and I, when we do our meditation together, when we do our prayers in the morning, our day usually goes great. When we're too busy to do that, believe me, it shows. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. You see that whole section? That whole section doesn't say AA hates religion. We made that up. That whole section says some of us may not go to church. That's what it really said. There's a couple of us in here that don't go to church. I know that's not reality. But we have to drop all types of religious prejudice. But how's that helping us, by the way? All pastors are cheats. All priests are this. All rabbis are this. How does that help us feel love for one another? I mean, how is that helping us? These people went to seminary and school and yeshiva for years and years and years and years. And yes, just like any man and woman, they fail. But we want to take the whole institution of religion and just say, you know what? They're all wrong. No. The grouch and the brainstorm are not for us. Where I can see, where I can gain, I was in front of this rabbi last night. He was awesome. I was able to take what I could take last night from him, what I could understand, and then bring it home with me. And just he exuded amazing, didn't he exude incredible amount of love. I am quick to see where religious people are right. I have resigned from the debating society. You don't believe in God? I don't even argue with you anymore. Now, if you want to ask me why I believe in God, you better have 30 minutes. Because there's a whole set of things that has happened to me over the last 20 years that I will tell you why I know God is real. My parents sitting right there, my dad being in GA 20 years, me having a relationship with my father, I didn't mean a close relationship, that it only can come from God. We were not the best of friends over my lifetime. Let me say that to you. And through the help of the 12 steps, a God that we worship together, meetings like this and places like this, we're just like freaking frank. And that only can come from God. So I wanted to ask Ray to come up here, and I'd like to ask you guys that after Ray comes up here, that you just close your eyes and you just listen to the St. Francis, the 11th step prayer. And the reason I asked Ray to come up here instead of me doing the prayer is because this is a prayer that I've always wanted to memorize. I've never been able to memorize. And Ray has memorized it, and I love the way he says it when he says it slow. So Ray, come on. Come on up. This is Ray, one of the guys in my life that I've been so blessed to have. And he's going to say the 11th step prayer. And I thought maybe we could all close our eyes and just take a second of meditation.
Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love. That where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness. That where there is discord, I may bring harmony. That where there is error, I may bring truth. That where there is doubt, I may bring faith. That where there is despair, I may bring hope. That where there are shadows, I may bring light. That where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is in self-forgetting that one finds It is by forgiving that one is forgiven. It is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Ray. Beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? And that's in the 12 and 12. So you have that meditation. You have that prayer in the 12 and 12. So you have that prayer in the 12 and 12. You have the third step prayer on page 63 of the big book. You have the seventh step prayer on page 65.
66.
That's what I said, 76. And so you got those three prayers, and you're good to go. You are good to go. Now, are you going to memorize a whole 11th step prayer? I hope so. I haven't been able to do it. I don't want to say I can't do it. I haven't been able to do it. That man has. But you don't have to memorize it. If you have it written down, it's awesome. This brings us to the 12th step. That same man that I asked to come up here, he asked me to be his sponsor. How many years ago?
Almost 3 years ago.
And when he first asked me, I have to tell you, we're from the same hometown, which is pretty rare, Smithtown, New York. And by the way, I just want to say to the people that have been listening around the United States, writing me letters and different things, so beautiful. Thank you for the support. Thank you for the support of Alcoholics Anonymous. And there's this guy that's been writing from Smithtown. It's so cool to have someone write from your hometown. And so Ray said he was from my hometown, Long Island, Smithtown. And I don't even like a lot of people from my hometown in Smithtown. I mean, on any given day, depending on which mood I'm in, I'm not crazy about me, let alone Ray. So, but I was already like 9 years sober when he asked me. And here he is in his leather jacket with the zippers and the motorcycle and the Long Island attitude. And he asked me to sponsor. And I was like, listen, no disrespect, but we're just too much alike. I mean, it's going to be, you know, I'm not looking to have a homecoming. You know what I mean? I want an AA. But he pursued and... over the last 2.5-3 years, the amount of service that this man does changed who this man is, which is the 12th step. You see, what's amazing about the 12th step is that by me helping you, it helps me. By me serving you, it changes me. By me saying, how can I help you, something changes inside me. And I've watched him just help so many people. So many people. And I've seen the change. And that's what happens with us. You could be doing it in your halfway houses. You could be doing it in your treatment centers. You could be doing it in your home with your parents. You could be doing it with your children. You could be serving each other now. And when you do that, when you start working the 12th step in your life, miracles happen, doesn't it? It totally does. This meeting is a 12th step miracle right here. What do you guys start off with? 12 people? Two people in the Chabad? I mean, who's going to the Chabad except for the Jews? Just you guys. You know what I mean. It was like you and another guy, and you had a beard down to here like Moses, and nobody was coming. And then God just blessed the meeting, and they couldn't even hold it in the Chabad. And they're holding it here. And this is almost at capacity. Now they started another meeting on Monday night, the 12th step. You know, sometimes we hear people talking about what they do in the program, like Joe Bear and different things. We hear people talking and we think they shouldn't be saying what they do. And if they're saying it in the right light, they should be saying what they do, because then it gives us a guiding post on, wow, if that's what they're doing, I can be doing it too. If that's the meeting that they just started, if Rachel and James just started that meeting, why can't I start a meeting? If I'm going to a morning meeting and they're cursing and they're talking down about women and they're doing different things, why can't I start my own meeting? And that's what we do. I used to go to a men's group years ago, and it was not a spiritual men's group, let me just say. And I was just 2 years sober, and these guys were like, you know, millions of years sober, and they were like coming in on with rock, with, you know, they wrote the big book, and they were coming in, and they were so mean and crotchety. But I figured, the guy's got like 60 years, he must know what he's talking about. But every time stuff would come out of his mouth, I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I didn't try to change the meeting. You can't change people that have been around for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. You can't change it. So I just got my big book. And I went to the very next room, and with just little 2 years of sobriety, I started the Higher Power Big Book study. And just a couple people came, and then a couple people came out of that other group, and a couple people came out of that group, and then it grew. And now on Wednesday nights, we've changed it to the Recovery Bible Study, and it combines the Bible and 12 steps. And it's this many people in the room. And I know a lot of you guys there. And all it does is take, you get in your big book, you get in your 12 and 12, and you go into some place and say, how much is the rent? And going and starting something. Or getting involved in a meeting like this that's already in place and say, how can I be of service? And service comes in so many ways. You see that Rachel tapes the meeting. And this meeting and the next person that's coming, which is Russell, which is just amazing. Just stay for that. It's going to be incredible. And she does a service. She records it. And then she puts it on a rocketed.org. And it goes around the country. It goes around the world. And let me just tell you a little service story about a guy named Kevin K. Kevin K had years of sobriety and he relapsed and he was drunk and he was drunk and he was real drunk. That's serious when you're drunk, drunk, and real drunk. And he's in Virginia and he can't get sober and he finally gets admitted to the Washington, D.C. Hospital, George Washington Hospital. And his daughter she's studying to be a doctor there, and she gets him hooked up there. And he says to his daughter, I need to get a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm dying, and I can't stay sober. And what he knew was N.A., and he wanted a high-powered speaker from N.A. So he Googles speakers in N.A., and my name comes up. Now, this is what I want to tell you. I've never done a step series in N.A. I've never spoke for anything longer than one meeting in N.A. But somehow, as God would have it, he puts my tape from this rocketed.org, from this website, and somehow a Narcotics Anonymous website called In the Rooms got it and duplicated it. I don't know how it works. I don't even understand the internet. You guys do. I know I click and I go there. That's about all I know. And so he's laying in the George Washington Hospital, listening to the Step series, the first one I ever did over at the 12-step house. And usually, did I say I was Stevie being I was an alcoholic, Jordan, tonight from the West Side Men's Group? I didn't do that, did I? That's probably why you're sleeping, because I didn't announce where we're from. Well, I'm Stevie B. I'm an alcoholic from the West Side Men's Group. Nice. And he heard on the tape, nice. And he's from Hawaii. And he used to go to a meeting in Hawaii where they used to say, right on, after they did it. So they was like, I'm going to go right on. And because he's drunk, he thinks they're saying right on. And so he says to his daughter, this is amazing. There's a group down in Fort Lauderdale called the West Side Men's Group. There's this guy, and he said the Stevie B Show. There's a show called the Stevie B Show, and we got to get listen to it because they're saying right on. And we didn't. We said nice. And somehow in his hospital bed, as God does what God does, he transforms this NA speaker and makes this miracle of magic. And in one of my talks, I mentioned West Side Men's Group in the Cleveland House. He gets on a plane. He gets his daughter and the people in the hospital to fund him to come down here on a plane with a week of sobriety. He moves into the Cleveland House, which is a halfway house in Hollywood Beach around the corner from my house. He starts living there. I happen to be on vacation in Colombia. And he's writing me emails. How you doing? This is Kevin K. And I get all these amazing emails because of this rocketed.org. I'm Kevin K. I'm still drunk, but I'm coming down to see you. And I'm like, oh, that's great. It's fantastic. And I'm away in Colombia, and I think, thank God he's in Virginia. He's never going to get over there anyway. He gets down to Hollywood. He finds the West Side Men's Group. The next email that gets sent to me is, I found the West Side Men's Group. I'm living in the Cleveland house. I asked this guy, Joe Todd, to be my sponsor. Joe Todd turns out to be is one of my closest friends. When I come back from Columbia, we meet him. I don't know if you remember him, Chris. This guy starts just taking meetings in, doing the deal, carrying the 12th step, stays sober, goes back to Virginia, starts a meeting over there, very similar to what we have, which is high energy, God-inspired meetings. Because if you don't like the meetings you're going to, and you're in South Florida, you're ridiculous, because we have the best meetings in the country. I mean, I want to just tell you something. If you're in one of these meetings where they're talking about hanging on and staying sober, and you just need to change meetings. This is the mecca for high, this is a high-dose, crazy-inspired, God-inspired meetings. I mean, this is serious business, Patty. You know that. We're a serious business down here. So he goes and starts a crazy for God meeting over in Virginia. And people are coming. They're coming. And he comes down for his 1 year Medallion. He comes down for his 2 year Medallion. And now he just came down for his 3 year Medallion. Isn't that amazing how the 12th step on the internet got a guy in a hospital that was looking for an NA speaker and transformed his family? He just bought a new home. He's got two boys that are crazy about him, and nobody is seeing him drink anymore. And that's what God does through the 12th step. Did it get freezing in here? Which is good, because it's usually hot in here, but it got freezing in here, which is good. I love that. So Kevin K goes back, and we start this other meeting, and we start this other meeting, and people start coming, and I got to meet John and Joni, and I get to meet James and Rachel, and this whole thing happens. And then Russell, he's doing this in Miami, and we're traveling down to Miami, we're seeing him do it in Miami, and we see all these meetings that Russell's starting in Miami, and we're like, why can't we do this in Broward? And that's how this got planted. And that's how the Wednesday night meeting got planted. That's how their Monday night meeting got planted. And that's our responsibility, to carry the 12th step. Sometimes to carry the 12th step is just showing up in a meeting and saying, hi, I'm Chris, I'm an alcoholic. Sometimes it's you have a car, God bless you with a car. Find out, first of all, listen to this. If you're blessed with a car and you're a guy, I don't know how it works for girls, so I'm not speaking to the girls. You should never be going to a meeting alone. Shame on you. If you're a man, you should be picking up men and taking them to meetings. If you're a man, you shouldn't be picking up women and taking them to meetings. I'd have liked that. But you should, if you've been blessed with a car, you should never arrive at a meeting alone. I mean, there's a lot of people that need rides. And that's an incredible 12th step. Down in South Florida, you know we have a job situation going down here. Not everyone has a car. Not even everyone has money for gas. But if God has blessed you with a car, and God has blessed you with gas, how are you not going and picking up people at halfway houses and saying, is anyone going to go over to the Fort Lauderdale whatever meeting? If that's going on in your life, you just know that you need to be tweaking it a little bit. Now I want to talk to you about the record. Anybody in here have anybody relapsed in their life in the last couple months? Well, show a hand. Raise your hand right now. Well, I have too. And this is what I want to say to you. There's a record. And I don't care how old you are. You've seen records. Records have grooves in them. And your life has grooves in them. You have ruts in your life. You have grooves in your life. And you will go back to those grooves automatically, just like a needle, when you put it down, goes to the grooves on a record naturally. It is a natural phenomenon that you are going to go back to the same way that you were all your life if you don't constantly work at it and ask God to change you. How do I know this? You ever see anybody that lost an amazing amount of weight? I mean, you just see these people that they lost it, but they did a fad diet. They did one of these fad diets. You know, they only eat cucumbers, like for 4 or 5 months. You walk up to them, they're thin, but they're green. How'd you do it? Well, I only ate cucumbers. And really, how long can you do that? I'm going to do it forever. You see them a couple years later, it's obvious they got off the diet. They're not green, and they look like maybe they tried something else. Their natural body type, their natural go-to for the last how many years is this thing. And if they don't work real hard at it, they're going to go back to that groove. That's the same way in AA. Our natural inclination is to drink and drug. If you're an alcoholic or a drug addict, it doesn't matter how much work you did 2 years ago. You have to put the work in today. Otherwise, you're going back to that group. Don't think it's shocking. I don't want you to be surprised. I'm looking over at this room. I recognize faces that I've seen over the years in different meetings. And I would imagine that it's been difficult for you. I know some of you guys are back in halfway houses. Ray and I go to a lot of treatment centers. We see some of the guys that are doing the greatest. And then they just have a couple days. It's because we're under this assumption. We're under this erroneous fallacy that because we have a certain amount of time sober, or we have a certain amount of time working with others, or we have a certain amount of meetings that we take into treatment centers, or we've taken a certain amount of guys or gals through the big book, that we are what, Dad? Bulletproof. And I want to tell you something. Nobody in here is bulletproof. anybody in here, if not doing the work on a daily basis, if not starting out on their knees, if not calling their sponsor, not doing 12-step work, not going into institutions, not setting up meetings, not showing up on people's properties, halfway houses, what can I do to serve? Everybody, almost everybody, is going to go back to that group. So when you get that call and someone says, I went back, you should not be shocked. What you need to be saying to yourself is, what did you stop doing? The easiest answer is meetings, but it's not always meetings. And the easiest answer is steps. It's not always steps. One thing I want you to know something. Steps are important. Is that Aldo? Steps are important, Aldo. But they're not everything. Steps are a tool. You have steps. You have the Lord. You have service. You have sponsorship. You have sponsees. You have service commitments. You have meetings. You pile it all together. And you almost have an impenetrable force. A wall that you can't get through. But there's something that some people let out. They forget. They put up this incredible wall. Sponsorship, God, service, involved in the community, fellowship. You guys have great fellowship. You're all hanging around together. Great fellowship. You got this whole thing. You got this whole amazing brick. And then they forget one thing. Willingness. They forget the willingness that they're going to have to do things differently. Because if you want to stay out of that groove, if you want to keep from going back to the same old, if you want to keep from going back to the slop, or, let me say this, if you want to be happy, you want to be happy? I want to be happy. If I'm going to be in sobriety, miserable, I'm not really going to be happy. You understand? I want to be enjoying the entire buffet. I want to be enjoying, I can't wait to see James and Rachel. I can't wait to see my parents. I can't wait to see John. I can't wait to see the people. I don't want to be miserable in Alcoholics Anonymous. That's not why I came in here. I want to be sober and happy. I want to be clean and on fire. And unless we're doing all those things, but we add the key ingredient of willingness, we have to be willing to walk away from our old ways. Guy comes up with a business deal. He says, hey, I got this great business deal. We're going to make this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. Really? What is exactly are we selling? Well, we're not really selling anything. We're kind of selling an idea. Hoot, hoot. Another guy comes over to you. He says, you know, I'm married. And, you know, but this, who's this? This is your daughter? No, no, not you. Hoot. Go to the other direction. We have to be willing to practice these principles in all our affairs. We have to be willing to do things differently than we ever did before. You can't have, this is not a Chinese buffet. Excuse me, this is not a Chinese menu. You can't have some of A, some of column B, and some of column C. You have to be all in to these spiritual principles. When they say practice these principles in all our affairs, they weren't playing around. And those of us in here, and I put myself in that category. I don't usually put myself in the winner's category. I'm great at putting myself down. And I, you know, I got a long way to go. I certainly haven't arrived. But in this place, I'm going to say, those of us in here that try to practice these principles in all our affairs, will tell you this, it works. When you do the right thing, because God is watching. When you do the right thing, when no human is watching, when you practice integrity, when no one's going to find out about it. Last week at church, a group of people gave this woman a car, and she needed a car. I mean, she had the most hideous car ever in the history of cars. It really shouldn't even be called. It should be called a bicycle with rims. It was awful. It had a missing front. All four windows were broken. It had bags. It had no windshield wipers. I mean, it was just by the grace of God that it would get around. And for a year, I was thinking, wow, it would be amazing if not the church, but that people inside the church would take up a collection and get her a car. And some other people thought the same thing. And I didn't go to anybody. They didn't come to me. It's just everyone came together at the same time. I said, why don't we buy her a car? Not the church, but the people inside the church. And they I'll put myself in the we right now. We bought her a car. But I wasn't the person involved. Everyone was involved. And after church, we were going to go to, you know, don't rush out. He's not going to, I'm going to finish up right now. I just want to finish this. I want to tell you this. After church, everybody gave her the car. There was a red ribbon on the car, and everybody gave her the car. You know, it's amazing for a woman that's a single mom to get a car. It wasn't a new car, but it was certainly better than what she had. And I wanted to be there for that. I wanted to be there because I wanted her to see that I was involved with it. I didn't want her to know because it was anonymous, but, you know, I wanted her to at least know I could have been involved with it. You know, like one of those things. And I missed the whole thing. I missed the ribbon cutting. I missed... And here's the great thing about it. And she's not in AA, so she's not going to hear this tape or anything, so the blessing is not ruined. Here's the great thing about it. When you do stuff for that no one's going to find out, because it's the right thing to do, and because that's what keeps your needle out of the groove, you now develop, and this is why I didn't want anyone to leave. I wanted you to hear this last line. You now develop a new groove. You see, that's what's amazing. You got this one groove your entire life. Selfish, self-seeking, dishonest. I'll do what I want. I'll, when you're watching, I'll do what's good. And you got this one groove that your needle continues to go back to. But then you start doing stuff that's completely different because you're actually practicing these principles in all your affairs, and the needle starts going over to this other thing, and sweet music is playing out of it. Hallelujah. And before long, Jordan, all of a sudden things start happening in your life, and you realize, wow, I'm not just playing a different person on TV, I'm actually a different person. And I want to just tell you something. It's been a blessing to be with you the last 6 weeks. It's been a blessing to be here with my parents and 1 week with my wife. God is truly a God of restoration. That you not only can have a life beyond your wildest dreams, but I'm not going to say guaranteed it. But I could almost say guaranteed it, because no matter what you've been given, even if it's horrible times, we have a new freedom and a new happiness that's not indicative, or it's not, doesn't hold value in the stuff that's around us, but by what's inside us. You know, you ever heard that story where you see that person and that person doesn't have any legs, and you say, man, I'm so blessed. But then you meet that person, and that person says, yeah, but there was a time in my life when I couldn't even have these prostheses, and now I have this, and they're so happy, and they're so joyful, and they're full of gratitude, and then you're full of gratitude. But 5 minutes ago, you're worried about needing enough money for Starbucks, and 5 minutes later, you're talking to someone that says, yeah, but look at these things that I was given. And if we keep our eyes open, if we continue to serve each other, if we keep love in our hearts, God will give us a life beyond our wildest dreams. Thank you so much.